I told you I would buy a property. I'd see something in it. You know, I knew I could maximize its value. I'd move me and my kiddo into it. I'd take forever to update it and put it back on the market. But that's just one or two kinds of deals that I've done by myself. Now I'm involved in commercial buildings, multifamily, big multifamily, mobile home parks, short-term rentals, midterm rentals, pad splits, single family flips. If it's out there and it's backed by real estate, I'm interested. Whether you're thinking about adding private money lending to your portfolio, or you're on your 10th deal, this podcast is just for you. Grow with Lila is for everyday people who want to grow their passive income, take more control over their investments, and get into real estate without swinging a hammer. Hey, I'm your host, Lila Zayed. I've been standing up new lines of revenue for 20 years, and after doing everything from building sales teams to monetizing solutions to bringing early stage B2B SaaS startups to market, I decided to dive headfirst into the world of private money lending, where even the modest returns are in double digits. As investing goes, private money lending is one of the more risky strategies. And even when your capital is secured by real estate, it can be a big effort to collect on that. So it helps that I'm a fish in water where there are tons of unknowns and hazards abound. I'm walking a few steps ahead, testing the riskiest hypotheses first, and I am sharing all my notes. Everything from big ideas to actionable step-by-step tactics that get results, so you can choose the right path for your own investments on your private money lending journey. Listen in to reveal the key decisions every PML faces before you face them, and learn how to manage your risk, all while growing your entrepreneurial skills and mindset. Whether you're PML curious or an accomplished lender, each episode is designed to help you take immediate action on the most important strategies for starting and growing your private money lending business today. On today's episode of Grow with Lila, I'm going to share with you how I got into private money lending. I didn't even know PMLing, that's what you call it, private money lending. I didn't even know that PMLing was a thing, and then I found it. The world was opening up, but was it the right thing for me to pursue and get into? Today, I'm going to share my journey with you in hopes that I'll help you along with your own journey. So, what got me to this point? Imagine this. It's 2012. My marriage is over. I'm the primary breadwinner and I've got a baby in diapers. The divorce is financially devastating to me. Not only am I now supporting two households and paying for daycare and all of the things, but I've forked over what I had built so far in my retirement accounts. I know that if I continue to do what I'm doing, work hard, pay my bills, survive. Wake up, do it again. Work hard, pay my bills, survive. I know that if I keep doing that, I'm not going to make it, meaning I'm not going to have enough to retire or take care of big medical bills. So I'm looking at this gorgeous baby boy and I'm thinking, I'll be damned if this kid is going to have to carry me financially when he's 20 or 30 something and trying to build a life for himself and his family. So I bought my first multifamily and I've never looked back. I always had a way of seeing what a property could be if only it were set up a little different, had better lighting, fresh paint, better photos. I didn't have much money and I was 100% living paycheck to paycheck. So I would buy a place, move kiddo and I into it, live there for a few years, make those updates, and then I would list it. And I was gaining 30 to 70% each time, which sounds pretty great, right? But it took forever. I did three HUDs in 11 years. So in real estate investing, people talk about doing HUDs. If that's new to you, it's short for a HUD 1 settlement statement, which is a document that is produced at closing It lists all the dollars, so all of the costs and credits when real estate changes hands. So anyway, it took me forever. And so I knew I wanted to do more. And when I went looking for ways for me to grow my money in real estate, but to do it faster, I came into private money lending. Before I could decide whether or not private money lending was the right thing for me, I had some really critical decisions to make. First of all, that sounds pretty risky, right? And so I just described that a number of years ago, I was in a pretty dicey financial spot and absolutely living paycheck to paycheck. So at that time, I did not have a pile of money to hand over into a real estate deal. But through making those decisions, I came into this spot where I can, and I killed myself for every single dollar that is in my little pile. And to me, it is it's something I take very seriously to hand my money over into a deal, to make an investment that has risk, I think is inherently natural to me, but to work with others, is less so. What if they lose my money? What if they mess it up? What if, right? But I knew I wanted to do more. I knew I wanted to do more faster. And the returns that I saw other people getting in private money lending were really appealing. But when I started to dig in, I realized that there were a lot of folks out there lending without a process, without an education in underwriting, without even doing diligence. They were maybe closing their eyes and jumping off a cliff and just hoping for the best. And with my business background, that is just not how I roll. I shared with you that I come from the world of startups, and so I am absolutely into taking risks. And that means taking an educated guess kind of a risk. So I needed to get to the bottom of what were the critical decisions that I had to make in order to ascertain whether or not this was the right thing for me to move forward with private money lending. So number one, did I have money to lend? Meaning, how much of my money do I need to keep the lights on and keep food in the fridge? That is not the money that I can lend into a deal. Only tomorrow money is the money that I'm ready to put into a deal. This is my investing dollars are not the dollars that my family needs in order to pay its bills. So yeah, I have money to lend. Where is this money coming from? Well, at first I was thinking that I would lend out of my savings account. So I have been one of these people who has a certain amount of money just sitting there in a savings account. And it was in a high yield savings account, but it was turning maybe 5% in a year, but it was just sitting there in liquid. And I thought, oh, well, I could take a certain amount of that and invest it. But when I started to really sort of dig into where is this money coming from and what are other people doing, I discovered 9 sources of capital in my life that I could tap into. They were coming from retirement accounts. They were coming from stocks that were underperforming. You can pull money out of your home's value with your HELOC. If you're in a financial position where you feel like that is a good thing to do and you run the numbers. So it turned out there were a lot of different pots of money for me to be playing with that I had never really considered before. Another question I had to ask myself was, am I up for this challenge? Do the essential activities play to my strengths? And the answer to that is yes, absolutely. Private money lending is a lot of spreadsheeting. I get my hands on a deal because someone else brings it to me. And the borrowers that bring me deals are active real estate investors who are doing incredible things, ambitious things with buildings. I look into the property that they want to take on. And I do diligence. I do diligence about the borrower. I do diligence regarding the property. I underwrite the property so that I understand what its value is, not the value that the borrower is telling me, but the value that I believe to be the case with this particular property. I also reach out to other folks who have strong underwriting skills. Maybe that's what they're doing full time, or maybe they are investors in the market and I talk with them about my underwriting. This is a whole lot of research and numbers and calculations. I love that stuff. I could just be lost in a spreadsheet for a whole day and it would make me happy. So for me, the essential activities of making sure that the numbers work and then even moving through the process of paperwork. These are skills that I have. These are skills that I like to use. So check, good. But what about the risk? Am I in a durable place financially? What if I lose it all? So for me, that question about risk really is about what if I lost this? I just go straight to the worst case scenario. Like, what if I take this money and I sink it into a deal and the deal implodes? Deals implode all the time. Deals implode because something happens to the borrower. Maybe they get hurt or sick. Deals implode because the market changes. And there are just so many things that are out of our control. And so when I invest by private money lending, I'm asking myself, what happens if this doesn't go great? And do I have the financial durability as well as the bandwidth and wherewithal within my life to pursue a secondary exit or the alternative plan or even just lose it completely? And the answer to that question for any particular deal needs to be yes, if I'm willing to do it. But just generally speaking, when I was asking myself, do I want to be a private money lender? I was, you know, asking myself, am I in a durable place financially? And the answer was yes. In fact, I'm looking to grow the money I have. So, okay. All right. Next question. Is my spouse up for this? I actually get this question a lot from fellow lenders. And what does your husband think about this? You know what? I actually get this question from borrowers more than I get it from lenders. Often it's men who are asking me this question. And, you know, and so I did. I discussed this at length with my spouse because when we're married, you know, my money is your money, is your money is my money. And, you know, these are risky choices. And I needed to know that hubby was up for this, you know, and he is. And maybe we'll bring him onto a show in the future and he can talk about what that's like for him. Another question I had to ask myself was, at what scale do I want to lend? Am I just wanting to bring a small pot of cash to this whole PMLing thing? Or do I want to build a business out of it? Or do I want to start with a small pile of cash and move towards growing a business? For me, this question was answered when I started to dig down and spreadsheet out models. I mentioned that I love spreadsheets, and so you don't have to love them as much as I do to be a successful private money lender. I know lots of folks who are great PMLs and having a lot of success and making double-digit returns, and they aren't quite as in love with spreadsheets as I am, but I do. And so I model things out. And what I started to realize is that bigger is better because I could compound my returns pretty quickly, PMLing. Initially, I thought I would bring much smaller chunks of money to the table just to test things out and see how it goes. And while I'm all for managing risks, I didn't really want to sit on the bench. I discovered about myself when I started modeling out my returns and my risks that I wanted to go larger. So for me personally, I decided to build a very small private money lending business where I'm involved in just a handful of deals at a time. Another question that I had to ask myself was about the legal considerations of pursuing PML. You know, first of all, is this legal? That was one of my first questions. You know, so private money lending, the history of private money lending, it's been around as long as money has been around. It's essentially being the bank. So ask yourself, are loans legal? Yeah, they are. They're a really important part of the economy. So yes, private money lending is absolutely legal. No, it is not just for enormous banking institutions. And there are lots of laws and regulations around lending. And that's something that I knew I would have to educate myself about. One example of that are usury laws. And so in different states throughout the U.S., each state has a different approach to, if at all, usury laws, which essentially indicate the maximum interest rate that can be charged on any given loan. In order to private money lend, it is paramount that a lender understand what the laws are and act within them. So is this even legal? Am I willing to get to the bottom of what is legal? How will this affect my ability to be successful? And also in the legal category, what kind of documents am I going to need to secure my deal? And where am I getting these documents? And how am I going to find an attorney that understands what it is that I'm doing here and understands the geography in which I'm doing it, because each geography has different laws? How am I going to move forward with that? And are these hard problems to solve, or are they easy? My experience was that there was an initial push to find the right attorney, and that, you know, there was a, you know, I would say a small amount of work really, but at the time it felt stressful because there are so many attorneys that don't understand what it is that I am doing when I'm private money lending. But ultimately, by asking around and talking to other real estate investors, I found some really great options, and I'm really thrilled to be working with the attorney that I do now. I just want to circle back to, where is this money coming from? As I, you know, sort of alluded to earlier, there are so many potential sources of money. I shared that initially I was thinking it was really just what's sitting in my savings account and hasn't been invested yet. I didn't even understand. I had never even heard of a self-directed retirement account. It makes complete sense that that exists. I just never thought it through. I've spent most of my career on the hamster wheel, working for someone else, maxing out my 401k, and that's just it, right? If I get a good education, I get a good job, and I put my money in savings, I'm going to be okay, right? I'm going to be living the American dream. I am coming to learn just how many assumptions I've been working from. And the self-directed retirement account is a major aha. I am absolutely using some of my retirement funds for private money lending. And I'm going to tell you how to get your hands on my total investing power calculator to help you, just in 5 minutes or less, discover where your funds for investing are, so that you don't have to work quite so hard or take so long to find these options for yourself. You can download that at growwithlila.com/calculator. Just go get it, make your life easier. I want to talk to you about why private money lending and not just betting on myself. Meaning, I shared with you that in the past, I had only done deals with myself. Yes, I absolutely hired a contractor and worked with other people to pull off the work, but I didn't buy properties with other investors and use other people's money. I just plugged away at it, and therefore slowly. So why now am I private money lending instead of just working with myself? Well, first of all, money in real estate moves faster when there are more people involved in a deal. And more movement of money equals more money. Keep the money moving, keep the money growing. So that's reason number one. Number two, exposure to a more broad variety of opportunities. I told you I would buy a property. I'd see something in it. You know, I knew I could maximize its value. I'd move me and my kiddo into it. I'd take forever to update it and put it back on the market. But that's just one or two kinds of deals that I've done by myself. Now I'm involved in commercial buildings, multifamily, big multifamily, mobile home parks, short-term rentals, midterm rentals, pad splits, single family flips. If it's out there and it's backed by real estate, I'm interested. Number three, safety in numbers. Is it safe? No, it's risky. Private money lending is risky, but the risk in any real estate deal is reduced when there are others involved to absorb the risk, not because they know better than you do. I mean, you might work with some really experienced, amazing people who do know a lot more than you do. And that leads me to number four. I learn so much from the investors around me. And I am also connected to even more opportunities as a result of working with others. All right, my friend. I shared with you what got me to this point of private money lending for myself, what were the critical decisions that I had to make, and why private money lending is a great fit for me, real estate activity-wise, rather than just betting on myself. And if you're looking to begin your private money lending journey, as I have, I've got a resource for you. It's a cheat sheet. It's a roadmap I wish I had had. It's a treasure map that reveals plain as day the obstacles faced by every PML and the 10 most common and most costly mistakes made by women who are new to private money lending. And best yet, how to avoid them. Whether you've not yet done your first deal, or you've been skating by on sheer dumb luck, this freebie could save you tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of wasted dollars and so much time. Other women have shared these hard lessons learned so you don't have to fall flat on your face and instead can better manage your risk and maximize your wins. Download your I Want to Make Money, Not Lose It cheat sheet today at growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's growwithlila.com/mistakes. That's it for today's episode. I'm your host, Lila Zayed. If you have a pal who could use this episode or more like it, please, please share the link. And if you haven't yet, hit subscribe and follow this podcast so you never miss a thing. I can't wait to connect again next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, here's to your health, your wealth, your freedom, and your joy.